Robert, what do you think of this announcement by NASA that they might have found evidence of the possibility of life there?
Oh, this is a really big deal, George. What they found, okay, first of all, was methane being emitted in very large amounts from localized regions on the surface of Mars. Now, traces of methane were detected by the European Mars Express orbiter a number of years ago, although their data was contested by skeptics. But this shows that that data was correct. But more importantly, this isn't just, you know, a few whiffs and sniffs of methane. This, in one locality, they detected 19,000 tons of methane being emitted from the ground within a fairly local region over a short period of time. No doubt, it's methane. It's lots of methane. It's methane coming out now. Now, there's two possible sources for it. One is biological and the other is hydrothermal. If it's biological, well, they've discovered life. If it's hydrothermal, what they've done is discovered a place where life could be living.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you've got hot water underground on Mars, and that's an environment that is favorable for microorganisms. Furthermore, what they've shown without question is that Mars is warm underground, so that there's unquestionably lots of subsurface environments that are favorable for life. And finally, they've shown that if Mars is hot underground, it means that there's potential geothermal power on Mars for as a resource for future human colonization. So this is just huge.
And as you've said for years, what a way to terraform a planet like that. And it seems like they've got all the ingredients and tools to get it done.
Well, the basic resources are there for indigenous life, for human settlement, and ultimately, yes, for terraforming Mars.
Richard C. Hoagland, come on into the mix here with Robert Zubrin, and let's take this away, because this really could be a momentous day for both of you.
You know, it's interesting because Robert and I have known each other quite a while. Like Tom and me, we've had our interesting collegial disagreements. But I got to say, he's 100% right on every single point he just made.
Well, that's pretty big coming from you, Richard.
This is a huge day. This is politically the beginning of the rest of your life.
But let me ask you this, Richard. You have for years, and let's not talk about Cydonia and those theories, but you have for years said that there's life on Mars. And even in this case of it's microbial. The fact that you would be saying it for so many years, Robert has been saying, hey, we can make Mars Earth-like in time. How do you feel about this? I mean, are you vindicated?
Well, we're not vindicated until the science is there, and I can actually give you a date, and I'm hoping that Robert will chime in on this, when we will really know. I mean, know in the scientific sense, the sense that, you know, Tom Van Flandern tonight, who should be here in this conversation, and he's definitely here in spirit. I mean, you understand, George, that the one news item I didn't get to in my litany was that today was the day that Tom was laid to rest.
That's right.
In a private ceremony in Washington State.
Yep.
The day NASA all but announces they found life on Mars. Politically, they couldn't jump over the cliff. But if you watched, Robert, as I watched that press conference, you could tell that Mama and the gal from the University of Indiana and Michael Meyer, who's the head of the science division, who's kind of in charge programmatically of what we do next, everybody was chomping at the bit to say, damn it, this is it. Would you not agree?
What does this mean, Robert, to that chunk of Mars rock that they displayed several years ago and they said that, you know, it looked like it could have some microbes on it?
Well, it certainly makes the idea that that is evidence of past biology much less of an extravagant claim, although, frankly, I never thought it was an extravagant claim. Yeah, you see, I always thought that there had to have been microbial life on Mars in the past and in the present because Mars has the environments on it that, well, certainly in the past it had environments that could have supported life. I had to believe that there was subsurface water still today. This discovery today proves that fact. But, you know, in other words, the laws of the universe are true in space and on Earth. They are the same laws. If life could evolve on Earth, they could evolve on other worlds, too, provided they're within the reasonable temperature range and they have available liquid water and carbon and other necessary things. And Mars has all of that. So, really, the idea that the Earth should be the only planet that could evolve life is just ridiculous.
I would guess, Robert and Richard, that if they were able to get samples of these live microbes and analyze them, they'd probably be the same as they could find on this planet. What do you think?
Well, there is the term, you know, form follows function. And if you have a very similar environment with similar energy sources, similar, you know, flow rates, similar water, you know, purification situations, the likelihood is that, you know, you'll have organisms that probably are very similar to those that have grown up on another planet. But the problem is more complex than that, because remember, it was Carl Sagan, I think in Cosmos back in 71, that said if we could prove that Mars had evolved independently as much as a microbe, that's why the microbe thing is so critically important tonight, then it implied immediately that the galaxy and the universe beyond is teeming with life, which means that when anybody is in the country, if you can survive in the northern climes going outside in 40 below weather and looking up at the stars tonight, what this means, what this announcement from NASA means today, if it's biology, is that most of those stars that you see in the sky could have populated planets orbiting them, that we are not alone. This changes, as the old commercial used to say, everything. And it's as close politically as NASA can come under the Bush administration to basically saying, as the culmination of the last decade or so of an increasing, you know, shoes that have been dropped in this whole subject matter. George, you and I have charted the drip, drip, drip of all the revelations and all the little announcements and, you know, the rovers and the orbiters. And this, to me, is not a surprise. This is actually the fulfillment of a prediction that I made on your show last May when I came back from addressing the Libertarian National Convention.
That's
remember that?
True. That is true.
I stood up in front of the delegates and I said, when Phoenix landed that evening, I said, I am willing to bet dollars to Navy beans that before this administration ends, there will be a robust announcement strongly indicating the presence of past or current life on Mars. And lo and behold, Mike Griffin, as he's walking out the door, because he's not going to be staying around as the NASA administrator, he actually was the one who decided in the last hours of the Bush administration to hold this briefing today on MUMMA's data against some interesting political opposition that I'm not at liberty to go into right now. But I'm telling you, this was a gutsy decision by Griffin to basically put the case on the table, to put a marker down that Mars is, in fact, maybe the kind of place to try to raise your kids.